Snows knows how to make it all easy for you. When it comes to landscaping and gardening, who knows how to create the perfect scene? Snow knows Garden Center.
And good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Garden Show.
We're happy to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. Love this rain.
Wonderful weather, isn't it?
It is.
You're listening to the longest continuously running garden show in the world. This is Corbin Snow.
And this is Dwayne Snow. I'm happy to be here this morning.
And this is the Snow Nose Garden Show, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, conveniently located just south of downtown Charlottesville. Out on Avon Street, and as I was driving into the office this morning, I was on the phone with Emily, my sister, who's out at the garden center, and she said, "You're not going to believe it." I said, "What is it?" And she said, "The sun is shining just on Snows this morning." And I'm not kidding. As I drove across town, it was gray and cloudy and just cold looking, and as I got onto the south side of town, sure enough, if there wasn't just a little pocket in the sky just shining its little beams of sun just right down on Snow's Garden
Center.
That's
an omen, isn't it?
So come out and see us today. We're open. We opened at 8 a.m. this morning. We'll be open until 5, and the nursery is absolutely jam-packed with beautiful, fresh arrivals of annuals and perennials and herbs and edibles and a super wide variety of vegetables. And with it being Earth Day yesterday, we had several people call into the garden center and they asked, "What is Snow's doing to go green or to benefit the earth?"
We're green by nature.
We are green by nature. We sell.
we wrote the book on green.
That is true. So a couple of the employees asked me this morning, they're like, "Well, we keep getting this question." And I was like, "Well, that's an easy one, guys. We sell trees and shrubs. The whole local movement of buying local, stay local. You get a double whammy when you come from Snow's. Not only are you buying local, but we buy local. So you get double points for buying at Snow's because of our buying power of buying local vegetables and perennials and annuals and shrubs and trees. So there's lots of ways you can go green, and one of them is just by visiting us out at the garden center.
One thing that is happening this spring that's really unusual is that because of the rain and the cooler weather, things are a lot slower. So the plants that you're putting in right now, because of the rain, it's not requiring a lot of maintenance.
Right.
It's the roots are starting to grow, the plants getting plenty of water. So you're not out there constantly having to water and take care of things. So, I mean, it's a great season.
And by my calculations, looking at the calendar, we're probably a good week and a half, 2 weeks behind.
I'd say a good two, maybe even 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, your calculator's a little bit longer than mine. But you're exactly right, Dad. We're about 2.5, 3 weeks behind. So that means, you know, trees took longer to bloom this year. You know, things that are still in bloom that traditionally finished blooming 2 weeks ago. Liriope, for example, is just barely now starting to peek out of the ground. And if you cut your liriope back, it's just barely starting to come back. All of my ornamental grasses at home have just barely a little green tip on them. You know, usually they'd be up a foot or two at this point. You know, they're just barely starting to break green. Crepe myrtles are just barely starting to get a little bit of foliage on them. So things are just really far behind.
And crepe myrtles are normally slow, but they're even slower this year.
Right.
So it's across the board, which in a way, I mean, it slows things down as far as being able to plant annuals and things
right,
such as that because of the cooler weather. But as far as being able to plant shrubs and trees and
it extends the season.
Extends the season dramatically.
Right.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful time to take advantage of these cooler temperatures. All the rain and moisture we're receiving makes it that much easier to get out, work in the garden, to establish and plant and grow things 10 times easier. So take advantage of that. If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open. You can reach us here in the WINA studios at 977-1070. Again, that number 977-1070. Or as always, you can follow us online at WINA.com. We are broadcasting worldwide, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at WINA.com.
If you're curious on how to get to our garden center, if you haven't been there before, first of all, we're open Monday through Saturday, 6 days a week, but we're always closed on Sundays. And the easiest way to get there, well, there's two easy ways. In fact, it's easy no matter where you are, really. If you're coming from the downtown area, you cross over that bridge, railroad bridge, right there by the central place, the big pavilion.
The Intellos Pavilion, as it's now called.
The Intellos Pavilion. Is that free advertising? The Snows Pavilion. Now, cross over that railroad bridge right by the pavilion, and once you cross that bridge, you literally just go straight for 3.5 miles, and we're on the left. If you're coming off of 64, you get off at exit 121 and go south to
Mill Creek Drive.
And turn right, go up to the next light, turn left, and we're on the left about a
half a mile.
On the left, correct. So it's easy to get there if you didn't get those directions written down.
We do have directions on our website at snownose.com, and you can also call out to the Garden Center, and they'd be glad to give you detailed directions as well at 295-2159.
Well, I've got to pass on this little bit of news. They are developing, and it's supposed to be on the market, or maybe it's even on the market in limited locations, but they have developed a lawnmower that will work off a satellite. You go out and put in the coordinates on your lawn.
I've seen it.
Where?
We were at the Green Industry Expo last fall in Louisville, Kentucky, and I saw the technology. I saw an example of the little computer, the GPS device that they mount on to the mower, and I saw a live demonstration in a field, and I saw a demonstration on a video, and it is absolutely amazing.
It comes at it.
And we're not talking about the little robot mowers that you see at Sam's Club for $99.99 that just kind of run around the yard aimlessly cutting grass. This is a GPS device that you mount onto like a full-blown commercial 60, 72-inch lawnmower cutting deck, and it's all GPS. So you've got to go through and put in the coordinates and the GPS devices, but they're using them to mow athletic fields. They're using them to mow big, acres and acres and acres of turf. And whatever questions you have in your mind, like, how does it work? Well, how safe is it?
How
can it detect a person or a child if a child was out playing or a ball? It's got sensors all around it, and it literally can even mow around like a soccer goal, a lacrosse goal without getting into the net. It's amazing.
And they are also developing this for the homeowner. So that, it may be, I think this is going to be electric, where it could come out at night,
yeah,
not wake the neighbors,
yeah,
and just quietly mow your lawn, come out a couple times a week, keep it right at the right.
So you're saying we need to look for some new services to provide?
Well,
it's like the Jetsons.
Some people still like the personal touch. You know how it is.
I don't know. That sounds pretty good.
You heard about when the automatic milking machines came out? They were interviewing two cows, and they said, well, how do you like these new fandangled milking machines?
Yeah.
One of them said, it's great. It really speeds things along, and I'm not in here as long. And the other one said, well, I personally enjoy the personal touch.
That's
okay, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I've got some three Andronema plants that planted about 2 years ago. And they at first look really great and wonderful, and they never seem to lose their flowers, which I always thought was unusual. But this past winter, coming out of winter, they look like they've kind of shrunk, and the yellow leaves are kind of a little yellow, and they're just getting a little bit of new growth on them, but they seem like they got hurt somehow. I had some leftover Merit that I put around them the other day, just yesterday, literally,
yeah,
that I had from some linden trees.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know, you know, exactly what the problem is. But
I don't think it's necessarily related to an insect.
No.
I think that, is it in an area that's maybe holding some water?
No, I don't think so.
Well, what kind of sun exposure is it getting?
It's on a hill, and it gets, you know, through the winter, it's pretty much gets sun,
yeah.
But now it gets part sun.
Okay. Which is a good environment for the, pears. They like, you know, some shade, not full sun. What about, I'm trying to think of other environmental things that it could be.
Well, I'm thinking specifically about the amount of water that we've had.
Right.
I imagine that. How long has it been since you fertilized it?
I really haven't fertilized it.
See, with all this rain, it's leaching the nitrogen out of the soil big time. So I think I would come in, rather than worry about merit, if it was an insect problem, even insects are late this year.
Right.
Except the stink bugs.
Yeah, we got those too.
But you know, with the season being late, I don't think it's an insect. I think it's more environmental related.
Yeah,
you know, the cooler weather, the wetter temperatures, and leaching the nitrogen out of your soil. I think I would come in and go ahead and fertilize it with something like
the Master Nursery All Purpose is a good
one. That would
one.
Be great. Or even Osmocote, which would give it a long, sustained feeding.
Yeah.
But I think if you put fertilizer around it, you'll see it starting to perk up fairly quick.
And is it supposed to keep its flowers all the time?
No. They will lose their flowers as the season progresses.
Yeah, it only flowers for a couple months during the spring months.
But, I mean, it stayed in flower all winter, you know, like little...
Well, I think it keeps the seed pods,
right?
But the actual bloom is of a limited duration.
So those little white roundish things are really seed pods.
When they first come out, it's the flower, but then as it progresses, the what's left is the seed pod.
It just hangs there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Oh,
appreciate you calling.
That was a great call. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Come on! Come on!
Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to line two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Am I the one that's on?
You're on.
You're on.
This is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
I have a question regarding my lawn.
All right.
There's an invasive plant coming up. It's a short plant. A lawnmower, if I set it at normal height, doesn't get it. It's about, the leaves are about an inch to inch and a quarter in diameter and has a blue flower. Can you tell me what that might be and what I could do with for it?
It's a weed in your lawn, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I wonder if it's some type of violet. Is it a?
I believe it might be.
Yeah, it's probably one of the ground violets that they stay kind of low in the lawn.
Yeah.
The good news is whether it's a violet or not, the product broadleaf weed beater is a broadleaf herbicide that will kill over 200 different varieties of broadleaf weeds.
And what? How would you spell that for me?
Yeah, it's weed beater.
Okay.
Yeah, just weed beater, BEATER.
Got it.
And it's made by Bonide.
Bonide. Okay.
Yeah, Bonide makes it. It's a wonderful product, and it will it'll beat the weeds down for you.
Do you sell that at your nursery?
Absolutely.
I'll sit by and get some.
You know, there was a day when I used to really try to learn all the lawn weeds.
Right.
But I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you learn the major classifications of weeds. If it's a broadleaf or if it's a perennial weed or something like that. But you really don't need to know all the 100 different type of weeds.
Well, especially when you have to know all the plants, trees, flowers, and everything else.
And that's it. I mean, the products now are so broad that they'll get all of them. So, you know, as long as we can identify, and by your description, we can identify that it is indeed a broadleaf weed, we know we can prescribe to you the broadleaf weed killer.
And the nice thing about this type of weed killer is that it will kill the weeds, but it does not kill your grass, like Roundup or something like that.
Right.
Very good. I appreciate your help.
All right. Oh, thank you very much for calling.
Our number here is 977-1070. If you have a question that you would like to ask.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Go ahead, Chief.
Good morning.
Good morning, Corbin and Dwayne.
Good morning.
I have a crepe myrtle. And it's a relatively small crepe myrtle. It's probably about 6 years old. And when I was trimming my crepe myrtles about a month and a half ago, it's behind my pool, and I realized I had forgotten it. Is it too late to trim it?
How far back were you looking to prune or trim it? Just to kind of tip it up, or?
I was looking to trim it down to where it was. It's pretty, you know, spraggly looking.
Yeah.
I just keep forgetting to trim it.
Right.
And so I wanted to trim it down to where it was a little bit thicker on the, you know, the branches.
And give me the measurements once again. It's about how tall now?
Oh, it's probably about, I would say 10 feet tall.
Okay, 10 feet tall. And
yeah,
you'd like to take
those branches up there are really thin.
Right.
And does it drop blooms in your pool all summer long?
I think it does.
Yeah. My dad had the same scenario out of his house.
Wait a minute. It's called crepe murder.
Crepe murder is when you go through and, you know, you have a 10-foot crepe myrtle, and because of its site location and the conditions, you've got to drastically prune it back or crepe murder as he just described.
Oh.
But sometimes because of the, you know, where it's at, the location in the landscape, you know, if it's close to the pool, you're going to be dealing with, you know, the spent blooms and flowers going into your pool all summer long. It's probably not too late to do it as long as you did it as soon as possible. The crepe myrtles are starting to leaf out,
barely.
Okay.
Yeah, but just barely. So if you were to do it, remember it's going to the flowers that come are going to come on that old on the new wood that's getting ready to be put out.
Okay.
So I'd do it as soon as possible.
I've got three around my pool, and I did something that I swore I would never do: is cut a crepe myrtle back like I did. It's but I was so tired of all the blooms blowing into the pool. I just had to do something.
Yeah.
Either take them out completely or try out my own version of crepe myrtle.
Right. So, and it's not right. The best horticultural practice. I mean, ideally, you know, crepe myrtles are planted in an area where they can be just a nice majestic tree, and you kind of let them go. But unfortunately, sometimes we plant things in the wrong location, or things just mature to a point where we didn't, you know, think they'd get to that size.
If this doesn't look halfway decent when it comes out, I'm going to take them out and put a dwarf variety in there.
I think this might be, it's not a big tree at all, as considering for the amount of time it's been there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that it might be of the dwarf variety.
Yeah.
So you're saying that it's murder is still acceptable at this time.
Well, I did it on my trees, and my crepe myrtle.
We're all saying it now.
My crepe.
Myrtles.
Man, that's catching, isn't it? Yeah. Because of the delayed season, they don't normally come out towards the end of April almost anyhow.
Yeah.
But
right.
I've got one that's showing some growth, and the other two are not showing any growth.
You probably killed them.
So,
you probably murdered them.
So, but it's late. So I think they're not showing any growth right now at all, are
no,
they?
No.
So if you're going to prune them, they're fine.
Okay. I'll go ahead and prune it. And I thank you very much.
And fertilize them at the same time.
Okay. If we all get caught, we'll be sitting in the same cell together.
All right. Nice.
Thank
I like
you
that.
Very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And go ahead and fertilize them also. I would use a product made by Bonide. It's called Triple Superphosphate, and that's got triple the amount of phosphorus, which is going to help it set buds and blooms for next season. Let's go to the phone lines. We can sneak in one more caller. You got them.
Well, Glenn's making
they're already on the line. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi, good morning. We have Pachysandra that has been in the ground probably 10 to 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And we're noticing that a lot of it's starting to die. A lot of the leaves have turned yellow, and they've got brown spots on them.
Yeah.
So I went online to figure out what it was,
yeah.
And they said it was some type of fungus.
Yeah.
And that we should spray it.
Right.
But it's got so much, I'm wondering if it's even worth trying to spray. If maybe we should try to start over. Could I take a lawnmower and mow it down, spray it, and then let it start regrowing?
If
I don't think mowing is going to help it. I think you're either going to have to start spraying it on a regular basis until you get it under control, or dig it up and put something else in.
And we've got a hotel that we maintain, and they have the same problem every year, it seems like. It's about 100 square feet of Pachysandra, and it gets the fungus. We have to come in with a product called Funganil and spray it regularly, at least two or three applications, about 2 to 3 weeks apart. But then in addition, every spring, we're constantly adding one or two flats of Pachysandra to kind of keep it full and lush. And some years we're more successful than others. We don't have to spray. And then some years it's the conditions are just right, the humidity, the moisture, that it's really bad some years. So it's just kind of a toss-up to how.
And especially this year, things are not getting a chance to dry out.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so how long do you suggest we spray it? As long as we see this growth, this type of fungus in it?
I spray it about once a week for the next 3 weeks.
And then see what happens.
And see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Y'all, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, you got to give more notice than that. Are you ready? You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070 WINA. We'll be right back. Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia. We are so glad to be with you on this beautiful Saturday morning. The rain has moved north of us, and the clouds are starting to burn off, and that sun is poking through. It's going to be a beautiful day. As I announced earlier, the sun is already out at Snow's Garden Center. The place looks absolutely beautiful. Come out and see our beautiful garden center today if you're on that side of town, or even if you're anywhere in Charlottesville, Central Virginia, Waynesboro, come and visit us. That's at Snow's Garden Center.
If you have a question that you would like to ask, give us a call at 977-1070, and we will be glad to take your call.
And we're getting ready to light up the phone lines. We're going to play a little trivia this morning, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center. And today you're playing for your choice of three different prizes. You can pick from an Easter lily, custom wrapped in one of our foils, any 3 gallon azalea of your choice, or one flat of vegetable plants. That's the small four packs.
And you can mix and match.
In other words,
you may not want a flat of broccoli,
right?
But a whole flat of tomatoes. Do we have tomatoes yet?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we've got everything: cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers.
So you can take a four pack of this, a four pack of that, a four pack of that, and make a full flat.
Exactly.
So you have your choice of some of
everything we have in stock. Of vegetables.
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving away anything we have in stock.
No. All right, so here's the question. What's the difference between a vegetable and a fruit?
All right.
That's easy enough.
Are we talking about in terms of people, or are we talking about... Okay, our number here again is 977-1070. You know, one thing I was noticing with the delayed season, the tent caterpillars haven't come out yet. So...
But keep a lookout for them. I can guarantee you that they're not far away. In fact, you might want to stock up on some BT or 7 or Orthemix, a really good product that you could use as well. But the younger the tent caterpillar are when you spray them, the easier they are to control. So it's one of those things you want to have ready for when you start seeing them out in the garden. I made a mistake one year letting them mature, hatch, and decimate my roses and everything in and around my house. It was the worst spring ever. So make sure you get ready for the tent caterpillars. Let's go to lucky number two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Morning.
Good morning. Did you have an answer for us?
Yeah, I think a fruit is something you're actually eating the product of the flower. With a vegetable, you're eating the plant itself.
Okay, that's close.
All right.
That's really close, but that's really not the answer.
All right.
I mean, you're 90% there.
And your answer was correct, but we were looking for some other differences and similarities.
Well, there's a lot of the flour. It's not
right.
Of the flour.
Yeah, you're eating.
Fruit.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
wait a minute. With what you just said, with that other line, the product of the fruit, that's close enough. Yeah, let's give it to her.
You want to give it to her?
Let's give it to
her.
All
right.
Because it's close enough, and once we explain it, everyone's going to say, well, that's what she said. So when you eat a vegetable, you're either eating the leaves, the stems, or the roots. You know,
okay.
you're not eating the flower.
Right.
But when you eat the fruit, yes, you're not eating. See, you're not eating the flower either. You know, take for example, strawberries.
Right.
You're not eating the strawberry flower.
Right.
But the product of the flower produces the fruit.
That's why we went ahead and approved it. Is because
and it contains seeds.
And it contains the seeds.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, like an apple has the seeds in it.
And the tomato.
Is a fruit.
Right.
That's correct. So why is the tomato called a vegetable?
I have no idea.
Well, I've got the case right here in front of me.
I've got it right here, actually. A tomato is a fruit, but it is legally known as a vegetable. Because in 1893, a case went before the U.S. Supreme Court about importing tomatoes from the West Indies. Fruits could be imported tax-free. Vegetables couldn't. Since tomatoes were eaten with main dishes and not as desserts, the court ruled them to be a vegetable.
So it was about the money. The taxes.
Yep, it's blame it on the government.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, exactly. It's about the money. It's about the taxes. So that's how tomatoes got classified that way in 1893. U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
Your name? Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, can we get your name?
Karen.
You may stop by the Garden Center at your convenience, and we'll put your name at the register, and you can pick that up at any time that you want. Remember, we're closed on Sundays. We're open today until
5 p.m.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Let's go back to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi, my name's Madison. I called earlier. I was looking on the internet, and it says fruit is actually the sweet ripened ovary or ovaries of a seed-bearing plant.
That's also true. Ours was a more simplified version. But that would be true.
So that's the way they describe it.
Okay.
And Madison, we're going to give you an Easter lily for calling in with the correct answer.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You can swing by the Garden Center anytime today and pick that up. We close at 5.
Oh, thank you.
So
if you wait
until Easter morning to come pick it up, you'll be the only one there.
No, I'll be there today.
All right. Thank you, Madison.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great answer. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open. Our number is 977-1070. And as we were talking about some of the to-do lists for the month of April, I call them the garden hit list, things that we need to do. We talked about tent caterpillars. A problem I had and a problem I saw a lot around Charlottesville last year were grubs in the lawn. In fact, I went most of the season last year thinking I had a fungal problem because the results, the things that return and show up in your lawn look a lot like fungus problems initially. Patches in the lawn, bare spots, and my first knee-jerk response is always to get out and spray with fungicide. And so I did that. It wasn't later until the fall, actually later in the summer, that I saw a lot of those grubs coming up and beetles, and I finally realized I had a grub problem. So one of the things you could do now, at the end of April, right now is a great time to get your grub control down in your lawn, and we have couple good products I could recommend to you for that. One is called Mach 2, and the other is Merit. And both will help control grubs, which a good way to find out if you have grubs, if you got a mole problem, you probably have a grub problem as well. So the solution for moles is to get rid of their source of food, and you can do so by applying either one of these products.
Okay, we have a call on line one.
Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Well, good morning.
Good.
I got a quick question.
All righty.
And it is about raspberry plants.
Okay.
They're coming up fantastic all over the place. And I have a suspicion that I need to probably do some spur cutting. Is that your recommendation?
Yes. And you can go ahead and cut out some of the older canes also. You know, they always seem to do better as with the new growth and, you know, young growth. So as your plants mature and you get some real old woody stems and growth in there, cut some of those out.
Yeah, okay. Well, I certainly appreciate that. I have a feeling it's going to drain all the energy if I have so darn many upstarted raspberry. They're coming up fantastic. I'll do what you said. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a great day. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show.
We'll be right back. Holding. Just hold on, and we'll be back with you in a minute.
Thank you.
Cell phones, computers, Blackberries, iPhones, cable television, the internet, email, text messages, instant messages. These days, there are so many ways to stay up to date. You may think you're plugged into the information superhighway, but do you ever feel like you're missing the message? Maybe it's time to slow down, tune out the noise of the world, and tune into the quiet voice of God. This week, take the time to come to First Presbyterian Church at 500 Park Street downtown. On Sunday mornings, there are three worship services available: a contemplative service at 8, a contemporary service at 8:55, and traditional worship at 11:15. There's also Sunday school for all ages at 10:05. Childcare and parking are available. For more information, visit www.fpchurch.com or tune into the radio broadcast at 9:30 on Sunday mornings right here on 1070 WINA. Plug into the spiritual superhighway. Recharge your batteries. Recharge your soul. Every Sunday at First Presbyterian Church, Park Street.
At least 30% of children and teens in the Commonwealth are obese. Head coach Brian O'Connor of the nationally ranked Virginia Cavaliers knows the importance of youth sports participation.
You know, there's something about learning when you're young and being a part of a team, and also to be staying physically active. You know, we need all the kids in the community as possible being involved in baseball.
Jay James here with the Virginia Foundation for Healthy Youth, and we and our broadcast partners want to do everything we can to support youth athletics in this community. D&D Lawn Care, they share in supporting active youth. After all, they're experts in working outside, giving you the lawn you desire with plant installation, turf renovations, fertilizer programs, and weed control. ddlawn.com. Great businesses like your locally owned and operated Outback Steakhouse with our good friend Brent Lunnan, the proprietor. Stop by and see him in the Albemarle Square Shopping Center for a fantastic ribeye, prime rib, Outback Steakhouse. A message from News Radio 1070 WINA and the proud broadcast supporters of University of Virginia Baseball and Lacrosse.
Well, hey, if it isn't Mike Dixon, owner of Dixon Disposal.
As I live and breathe, Corbin Snow, owner of Snow's Garden Center and Landscaping. How's grow business?
No business like it, Mike. How about you? Still making the world a cleaner and greener place with your single-stream recycling?
You bet. All in one can.
I wanted to tell these great listeners about the Seaville Go Green Fest on Saturday, May 14th. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Snow's Garden Center.
I'm so excited about this great community event that you and I are sponsoring. We'll have food, games, entertainment, and a moon bounce for kids.
And we've invited other local, eco-minded companies to contribute and share their green ideas.
Be sure to join us on Saturday, May 14th.
From 10 till 2 at Snow's Garden Center.
Get eco-educated and enjoy food, fun, and friendly folks.
We want you to go green, Charlottesville.
Steve-O Go Green Fest, May 14th, 10 to 2, Snow's Garden Center, 1875 Avon Street Extended. More info at SevilleGoGreenFest.com. And a great big thanks to our media sponsor, Seville Abode.
This is a commercial brought to you by the community-minded people of Snow's Gardens.
And on that note, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to
line. Wait a minute. Before we go to the phone lines, hang on just one more second.
Okay.
I want to go back to what we talked about pruning the raspberries.
Go for it.
Before we go into something else. You know, raspberries, you can actually mow those down at the end of each year, and they'll come back, and they'll come back, and they'll have more raspberries than ever if you prune them all back completely. If you're leaving them, and you're leaving them year after year, and they're constantly spreading, which they do, as the older growth will become less productive.
Right.
So he mentioned early on, I'm going to tip prune these. Pruning is good at the end of June, the new growth.
Right.
But if you're just – no, he says spur pruning. You don't spur prune in terms of pruning them like you would a grape.
Right.
You know, where you cut back the spurs. But you – normally you would mow them. You would let – you could thin them some if they're getting growing out into areas that you don't want them. But typically you don't prune raspberries like you do other plants. So a lot of people that grow raspberries for a living would just come in and mow the whole area, cut it all back, let it come out new.
Get all that new growth and new fruit.
Get all the new growth, and that's where your fruit comes from, is the new growth.
Exactly.
So I wanted to make sure we covered that correctly.
Good job. Thank you for holding through the break. Let's go back to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I enjoy your show.
Thank you for listening.
I got a question. I have a plum tree. And last year it developed some growths on it. Some of them even kind of split the bark. And we trimmed it way back almost to a stump. And this year it got a lot of new growth and flowers, but I'd like to prevent that growth again from coming up.
Okay, when you said growth coming up, you talked about splitting and you talked about growth coming up. Are you talking about suckers coming up?
No, I'm sorry. We pruned the tree way back.
Yeah.
And this year it had a lot of new branches.
Was it like a cankerous growth that you had, like a little knotty growth?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about the growth. I would thin it. You know, if you prune the overall tree in height, it'll cause a lot of vegetative growth. But if you go in and just thin it and cut out the suckers, that will help keep it down. And cutting out the suckers is extremely important.
Okay.
And so you thin the tree rather than, you know, cutting the whole tree back. You can do that, but it will cause this additional growth, and you just go back the next year and thin it out.
Okay.
Now, if you're starting to develop cankers, then you could spray with a fungicide, which would help some, and it all depends on what type of canker it is. Some cankers are caused by a fungal problem. Others are caused by actually a wasp or something like that.
If I brought in a branch with one of those on it, you could probably tell?
Yes. It doesn't sound like it's... there's one called not... I'm trying to think of the terminology.
Did you cut out any of the diseased areas last year?
We tried, and we ended up paring it way back.
Okay. Well, you did exactly what, you know, is recommended. Get rid of any of the diseased wood. Dispose of it. Don't keep it around. Make sure all the leaves from last year are cleaned up and removed as well. And then I would start spraying it with a fungicide as a preventative right now, just to, you know, as it's developing leaves and flat, you know, it's already flowered. But that's going to help prevent that fungus problem again this year.
And it usually starts right as the new leaves are forming. So it's important that you start spraying it with a fungicide right after it gets through blooming.
I'll come out and get some.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, cankers, the fungus that it develops is a serious problem. A lot of the literature, you know, recommends disposing or taking the problem, the wood that you prune out off-site or burning it. So, I mean, there's nothing too extreme that you can do to get rid of the problem.
Yeah, it's not an easy problem to solve once you get it, so that you have to aggressively go after it. So the fact that he pruned it is a great thing to get it out of the tree the best you can, and then start early with the spraying program.
And we had made a recommendation to start spraying now. It actually recommends that get a copper-based fungicide spray, and for the best results, a lot of that spraying won't take place until the beginning of August, and then you'll start doing that in weekly intervals, and it recommends spraying a minimum of 3 times to be effective.
Our number here is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask, and we've got a call on line three.
Let's go to line number two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hello.
Hey, hello. How are you?
I've got a question on this. I think they call this stuff chickweed or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got quite a bit of growing in my lawn, and I put in new seed and fertilizer back up in February. And everything is coming up along with that chickweed.
That's
and
right.
I'm trying to find out, is it going to be too dangerous to add this, turf builder 2 type stuff that will fertilize the lawn again?
Yeah, that's a
chickweed.
Wait a minute. How long has the seed come up yet?
Yeah, seed is up.
Okay.
And I put the seed down back in November section, back in November, December.
Okay.
So the seed came up in the fall.
Yes, the seed came up. I've got a good stand of grass.
And
I'm thinking, if I put down turf builder 2 now, would it be too much fertilizer to kill that?
That's a good question. Have you mowed the grass yet? Have you mowed the new seed yet?
Hello?
Yeah, have you mowed the new seed yet?
I couldn't hear all that. I had something mixed in there.
Have you mowed your lawn this season?
I've mowed it once.
Okay. I was just reading the label last week on the broadleaf weed killers, and it recommends that you've mowed that new seed at least 2 or 3 times.
Uh-huh.
So I would mow it again.
But the fact that it's gone through the winter is tough.
It wouldn't. This thing I'm looking at has got something like 27, the first number. That wouldn't be too much fertilizer. It wouldn't burn it later in the spring, in the summer.
I wouldn't fertilize it again. I would use a product specifically for the broadleaf control, especially you said you've already put down some fertilizer. I wouldn't fertilize again right now. That's going to lead to fungus problems. I'd use a product specifically for broadleaf weed control. A product like the Weed Beater made by Bonide, or any product specifically targeting broadleaf weeds.
Okay, and you have that out there.
We sure do.
Okay, that's my question. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
thank you so
calling.
Much for calling. How much time we got, Glenn? About 2 minutes? 30 seconds?
15 seconds. We appreciate you joining us on our program today. If you have any questions during the week, come by the Garden Center or give us a call. We'd be glad to help you.
All of our information is stored online at snownose.com. The show is archived. You can also download a copy of The Snow on iTunes. If you'd like to join the show next week, call early and often. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day out in the garden.